We come to this place for magic. We come to pop over view, to laugh, to cry, to drink, because we need that, all of us. That indescribable feeling we get when we hit the play button and go somewhere we've never been before. Sound that I can feel. Somehow, heartbreak feels good in a place like this. Not just entertained, but somehow reborn. Together. Pop Poor Review. We make movie podcasts better.
You know, in hospital, the toughest part of my treatment was the vacuum. Pumping the shit out of my lungs. And while doing it, I was watching television. You winning all my points.
Your points?
That bastard hunt, I would say. I hate that guy. And then one day, the doctor came and said, Mr. Lauder, may I offer a piece of advice? Stop thinking of it as a curse to have been given an enemy in life. It can be a blessing, too. He was right. Now look at us. We're both a pair of kids when we met. Hot-headed jerks in Formula 3, disowned by our families, headed nowhere. And now we're both champions of the world.
Welcome back, everybody. If you popped open a beer or poured yourself a glass of wine yet, because you're listening to Pop Poor Review with Jimmy Chico.
Hi.
Kelly Gong.
Hello.
And myself, Matt Chico. We are the movie podcast where we journey through the IMDb Top 250 movies list. If you don't have a drink yet, you can try today's inspired drink based off number 227, Rush. The drink is the F1. It's vodka, ginger ale, grape juice, and lime. Rush, that's 227 at the time of the recording. Came out in 2013. Directed by Ron Howard. Writer Peter Morgan. Starring Chris Hemsworth and Daniel Brühl. IMDb rating 8.1 out of 10. Rotten Tomato score, critics 89%. Audiences 88%. Letterboxd is 3.8 out of 5. The box office, domestic, $27 million. $36.1 million adjusted for inflation. Worldwide, $98.1 million, $131.6 million adjusted for inflation, and no Oscars. How do you feel about no Oscars? Because it was a very big controversy that, like, this was the only movie of that year that was nominated at the Golden Globes for Best Drama to not get nominated for Best Picture, and also...
Was also nominated for, like, everything else.
That's what I was going to say next. Daniel Brühl got a nomination for Best Supporting Actor for Golden Globe, BAFTA, Screen Actors, and Critics' Choice. So people were shocked that he didn't get a Oscar for Best Supporting Actor. What did you think?
I was surprised it got no Oscars. I was double-checking myself when I was watching the movie, and I was like, did this get, like, anything even technical? And then I was like, no. Because I remember it being, I was like, oh, he's going to definitely be in the supporting race, because I remember being like, he was quite good, I enjoyed his role. But then they didn't nominate him, and I was like, how did the sound and the editing and, like, all that stuff not get nominated either? We just don't know.
Me personally, I don't know if I think it deserves a lot of nominations, but I'm kind of shocked. It does seem like the movie to get a lot of nominated, or at least technical stuff. Kelly,
it's just weird that, like, it was recognized by literally, like Daniel Brühl in particular, by so many different, you know, associations and critics. And then, like, the Academy was like, no, thank you. And it's just kind of, it's weird that it's also in, like, the top 250. And it doesn't have, like, it didn't get any Academy Award nominations, right?
No.
It's weird that it's in the top 250 and has, like, no recognition from the Academy. I just think it's so strange. It's, like, insanely strange.
Because a lot of the reviews were people saying, like, I think they were even, like, reviews written before the nominations came out. And they're like, you know, I'm expecting this to get a lot, or at least Daniel Brühl to get nominated. And then one guy said, like, I was puzzled why it wasn't nominated for any categories. And now seeing it, I'm doubly puzzled. It's the rare occasion that IMDb members found a film underrated and put it in the top 250, whereas the most prestigious award ceremony has snubbed it. Usually the ones that are on here a lot of times have at least, like, one nomination.
Yeah, and, like, just for the fact of we've seen so many movies that the three of us have not been, like, huge fans of, like The Usual Suspects, things like that, and it's like, this is a far better movie than that movie. And it's just, it's really funny. And it's one of those anomalies that it's like, I don't understand.
I mean, I'm looking at the Best Supporting Actor right now. It was a kind of crowded category. It's Jared Leto won for Dallas Buyers Club. Barak Abdi for Captain Phillips. Bradley Cooper, American Hustle. Michael Fassbender, 12 Years a Slave. And then Jonah Hill, Wolf of Wall Street. Personally, I like those people better. But, like, what do you think about that list? Do you think he could be in there?
I personally think that he is better than Bradley Cooper. And He possibly the guy from Captain Phillips, but Bradley Cooper is probably the lowest on that list for me in
I
terms
think
of supporting
Bradley
actor.
Cooper and Jonah Hill. I think he could have taken those spots.
Because I'm not sure. I think it was the Captain Phillips guy who wasn't getting it until the Oscars. I think he was like the surprise that year. So I
Yeah.
think probably Daniel Brühl had his spot. But yeah, it is an interesting thing to see, like, when you see a movie on this list getting no nominations. It's like, because I mean, it had the track record for it. It has a director that's a big director. It has, at least sound. Like, I'm surprised, because that's usually these type of, like, Ford v Ferrari won it. I mean, a lot of racing movies are usually just thrown in there for just like sound alone, just because they're like, okay, if we're not gonna give it anything, let's give it like just something technical. But
Yeah,
it is a
like war movies,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
But
So let's
yeah,
move on.
this is
Oh,
a
sorry.
weird. Are there any other movies that we've done that literally have never gotten an Academy recognition?
Yeah, hold on, wait, let me pull up my list really quick. There was one, I think. Let's see. Oh, you know what, though? A lot of them were the foreign ones, probably.
Was it The Untouchables?
Didn't know. Yeah, I think that had no. That Snatch didn't have any. Let's
Okay.
see.
Yeah, that one I still don't even understand why the fuck that's on this list.
I don't think My Neighbor Totoro, but like I said, it like the foreign movies didn't. When the before there was like animated feature and like foreign features, they didn't have it.
Yeah.
So I think those are the only like exceptions. I don't think Kill Bill got anything either.
Kill Bill?
No, I don't. It might have gotten some technical.
But yeah, besides that, I think it's either it was a foreign film or an animated film, like before like the category is established. So yeah.
I just feel like this is one of those weird movies where it's like, it's not like Kill Bill, where it's like, okay, it has cult status. Like, it's on the top 250. It when it came out, and everyone's in consensus that it's a great movie that deserved more recognition, but it doesn't have cult status and it doesn't have Academy nomination like honors. It's so weird. It's like one of those weird movies that it's like it's great, but no one recognizes it.
It is a like an anomaly of a movie. So let's move on to Shotgun Facts. Jimmy, do you wanna start with yours?
Sure. Originally, Paul Greengrass was on board as the director in the development stage for Rush. Greengrass, though, would eventually swap feature projects with Ron Howard, who was set to direct Captain Phillips during its developmental stage at the time. Greengrass came in to helm Captain Phillips instead, as Howard went on to board to helm Rush in replacement of Greengrass. That was just a lot of the same words back to back to back.
Okay, so Peter Morgan, who wrote the script of Rush, he wrote it on spec or speculation, meaning there was no one waiting to buy it. So he wrote the first draft, assuming there would not even be any racing sequences at all, because the prospective film would probably have a very low budget. Instead, he structured the film as a race of sorts between the two main characters, and I guess he added the racing scenes after they had a good budget. I don't even know what the budget is for this movie.
I think it was like
$30.
31 million
31
or
million?
something.
Oh, okay.
I
Oh,
could
that's
be wrong.
close. Well, you heard in dollars, so.
Yeah, but I picked 30.
Yeah. Kelly?
Daniel Brühl wore prosthetic teeth, which at first, to be quite honest, I was like, there's no way those are his real teeth. When I was watching it, when I first saw him, I was like, does he normally look like that? I'm like, no. And then I'm like, but he does. And I'm like, I honestly don't know. And then I had to Google it. So.
Well, I googled what the real
He didn't look like that bad.
I no, okay, so when I googled the real Niki Lauda, because after spoiler alert, after he crashes and is like burned for 20 minutes, I wanted to see, hey, did he die like right after this movie or something? And he didn't, but I was like, oh, he looks just old. And not all burnt. So he had some good plastic surgeons. And then I was like, oh, the teeth. I see it.
I did that too, and because I was like, I want because they're like, oh, his disfigurement, and I was like, let me see like how this, and then I saw a picture of him. I'm like, first of all, he doesn't really look that bad, and then I was like, second of all, I was like, the teeth. Okay, I get it.
I mean, they did a pretty good job casting in general, because like when they kind of like showed the real images at the end of the movie, like I was like, oh, like they got the essence of like each of them. It wasn't like a crazy, like no one looked like each other, and they just wanted to cast these people because they like the casting instead of the actual correlation.
Well, they said like this movie was like, they said that normally like Formula One race drivers and just, I guess, people in the professional racing community normally hate all these movies. Like they do not like, they're not well received. And Ron Howard apparently held a private screening for just Formula One race drivers and people in the industry to kind of get their feel for this. And he was very surprised when at the end of it, they didn't tear him apart and they actually generally enjoyed the movie and said it was like pretty accurate. Like, I mean, there obviously there's inaccuracies throughout the entire movie. So, like Niki Lauda said, he was like, well, like even just the winners and how they came and how they placed was not like historically accurate. But like Niki Lauda was also just like, the rivalry between me and James was not like as an it was not nearly as antagonistic as it was in the film. Like they were actually like really good friends. So, but either way, they said like this is probably, I guess at the time, I don't think there has been another Formula One racing movie that's come out except one. I think the one
Ford
that's
v
coming out,
Ferrari, wasn't that Formula One?
was it Formula One? I don't think that was Formula One, was
I
it?
think it,
Is
I
it?
don't know,
Because
Ferrari. It had the same cars, like style, like the open top and stuff. Hold on, let me
Okay,
look.
so it might have been. I don't really know. I'm not super familiar with all of that. But they said this is like, at the time, they were like, this is like the number one like type of biopic type movie that was coming out because the racing community actually like warmly embraced it.
But I also saw, I think it was the same like fun fact that you were reading. He said like he was never this stressed to show a movie to like actual like the people it was based on since like Apollo like 13 when he showed it to like astronauts.
Yeah.
So Jimmy, before we take a quick break, can you say a summary of Rush?
The film is based on the true story of a great sporting rivalry between handsome English playboy James Hunt and his methodical, brilliant opponent, Austrian driver Niki Lauda. The story follows their distinctly different personal styles and on and off the track, their loves and their astonishing 1976 season in which both drivers were willing to risk everything to become world champion in a sport with no margin for error. If you make a mistake, you die.
Ooh, and we'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is B from Arbitrary Advice, your one-stop shop for advice, arbitrary and otherwise. We talk about anything and everything, from serious issues to internet challenges and life hacks. Have a question or topic you want covered? I'm available through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Or email me at arbitraryadvicepodcast@gmail.com. My mission is to help people through their challenges, no matter the size. New episodes every Sunday and available anywhere you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. Rush number 227, as we always do. Do you think it should be on the top 250 list? And do you think 227 is an appropriate number? Kelly, we'll start with you.
I agree that it's kind of one of those weird things where it's like I'm okay that it's on the top 250 list. Like 227, like I would say like closer to the 250s, like where it is fine. Like it's one of those ones that we always say where it's just like I'm fine with it being on there. Like I could see why it's on there, but like if it wasn't on there, I wouldn't be like, that's a crime against cinema. So that's where I feel about it. But I personally do really enjoy the movie, but I don't care whether or not it's on the 250 or not. It definitely needs to be in the lower 200s for sure.
Okay, Jimmy.
I think where it is perfectly fine because I enjoy the movie, but I feel like if in a couple of years, if it does get pushed off the list because it's so close to the bottom. And as new movies come in, I would be fine with it being like, okay. So, like, I mean, the movie is very good, but it's also weirdly forgettable
Yeah.
because while watching it, the only part I remembered in this movie was Natalie Dormer. I don't know why. I
That's
just
so
remembered
funny
she
because
played a
she's in two
nurse.
seconds.
I know.
I know. I remember she played a nurse. That's all I remember she playing, a nurse. And then, like, I don't remember anything else. I don't remember Olivia Wilde's character at all. I didn't remember that he got into a car accident. I didn't remember the scenes in the hospital where they're vacuuming out his lungs. Like, you know, what should be memorable scenes? I had no idea. All I remember was Natalie Dormer as a nurse.
I find that hilarious. That's probably
Not even Natalie Dormer having sex with Chris Hemsworth in that whole little montage. Just literally Natalie Dormer in the nurse's uniform. That's all I remember from this movie.
No, but that's the same for me, because Jimmy said that. He was like, I forgot Natalie Dormer was in it. I was like, she's the only thing I remember about this.
No, I said
film.
I forgot Olivia Wilde was in it. I was like, oh, she popped on screen. And I was like, oh, Olivia Wilde. Whatever
I thought you said Natalie
her.
Dormer. I forgot about Olivia Wilde too. But it was funny because, like, I just thought of it now. I was like, that's like Natalie Dormer. Isn't she in Captain America too?
Yeah.
As like a nurse?
No, was she a nurse? I thought she was like one of the soldiers.
She played like a
she was like
she
a nurse
like a,
soldier. Like,
yeah,
you know,
she played
one of the secretaries.
For like 3 seconds.
And I was just like, wow. Before, like, was she on Game of Thrones at this point, or just starting out on Game of Thrones?
Well, this
at
was
this
what?
Point?
2013. So I think Game of Thrones started in what? 2011?
Joffrey died 10 years ago this year, which I saw everything online. So that was 24.
So
that was season 4.
Okay.
So no.
And Game of Thrones started 2010?
11. I think so.
Oh, okay.
2010 or 20. Yeah. So she probably would have been
just
seen.
Started.
No, but if Joffrey died, she was marrying Joffrey.
No, I know, but Joffrey died 10 years from 2024 or
from 2024. So 2014 he died.
So
this
she might have like one season.
So I think she might have just been starting out on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Okay, cuz I was just like, wow, she did a lot of small little roles as nurses and secretaries, essentially doing the same thing, being attracted to the main character and being like, peace. Afterwards,
I just find it funny that you think this movie's forgettable, but yet you remember the like probably the most like one of the very forgettable characters.
That's what I'm saying.
The beginning of the movie,
it makes no sense. I'm like Natalie Dormer as a nurse. That's it. And I remember the nurse, the hat, the little hat she's wearing. I remember that.
But no, yeah.
And I remember the color palette to the scene. I'm just literally thinking of before I rewatched the movie, and I'm like, the color palette. It was very yellowy. It was very filtery, yellowy, and I was like, okay.
But yeah, so for me, I remember watching this movie and really liking it. Watching it this time, I didn't really care for the movie the second time around. There was parts that I enjoyed, but overall, like, I didn't love it. So, like, if it's at 250, it's like what Kelly said, I don't care if it's at 250, but I also don't care if it wasn't on the list either. It's one of those ones where I feel like there's parts of it that are great, but overall it's kind of like a forgettable movie, like you guys have been saying. Like, I like the racing. I thought the racing scenes were really good. And I like their, like, rivalry. The dynamics between the two of them. I think it could have been an hour and a half, and I think we didn't need so much of their backstories. I know you sort of need some of it to get the whole, like, kind of, like, rivalry for them. But
I think,
like,
you kind of do need their backstories as to where they came from.
That's what I'm saying. I understand.
Because, I mean, Niki Lauda literally just paid his way in, while the other ones, like, well, James Hunt.
No, that's
like, he kind of worked his way up a little bit, but he's still, like, you know.
Well, James Hunt also then ended up, I think, like, paying his way in towards the, like, when he, like, was desperate.
Oh, no, yeah, but I mean, I think that's, you definitely need that, and how
no,
he's like, I'm going to just drive a Ferrari, and this is garbage.
That's why I was like, I understand why you would need it, but to me, it's like, I would have rather it had been like an hour and a half and like focus more on the racing and then the two of them and not the two of them separately. Because, but, like, the second half, I think, was a lot stronger because it had more of that than the first half.
But if you had cut out a half hour of the film, Natalie Dormer might have been cut out and I would have not known anything from this movie.
Jimmy might have forgot the entire movie.
I might have forgotten about this entire movie.
No, I mean, you know what the thing is that I forgot that this movie actually is, like, and I feel like you guys might agree with me, like, this is actually, like, Daniel Brühl's movie and not mm-hmm. Chris Hemsworth movie.
I didn't think Chris Hemsworth was the best.
No, he wasn't, but I think that that's one of the things I completely forgot about this movie. Like, I saw this movie maybe, like, once, and I liked it, but I completely forgot that Daniel Brühl is really, like, the main character of this movie, not Chris Hemsworth. And I think that may have possibly also taken away. But again, like, at the time, Chris Hemsworth was the bigger name of the two. So, but really, I was like, this is really like about Niki Lauda, not so much James Hunt.
I
You
do
know what I'm
agree.
saying?
Yeah, I do agree that it's more of his movie. Overall, I thought both were good. I didn't think either of them were, like, we were talking about the Oscars. I don't know if I necessarily would have been shocked. I kind of would have been more shocked if he got it than he didn't for Best Supporting Actor. I thought they were both good, but just nothing like I've seen him much, but I feel like I've seen him better in other movies.
Oh no, yeah, like since then, like 100%. I think that Daniel Brühl actually was very good in this movie. So, like his character was at first you fucking hated him, but then it's just like you with his wait, because you needed his backstory, you came to understand where exactly he was coming from and realizing like he's not a complete fucking asshole. It's just like he knows what needs to be done. He knows what he needs to do to accomplish his goal. But then when he like was like, we shouldn't race this. Like we shouldn't do this race at all, because he was just like, I'm not like when he was like that 20%, like I'm not here to like risk my life, or like I am, but I'm also like not going to go and do something that like 100% will like kill me. Like it's just like, and then he was like, you all should recognize this. It's kind of like, without his backstory, you would have not seen him as the kind of sympathetic character he was, in the sense that it's like he wasn't really like an asshole, you know?
Yeah, and I think you also get that when he meets his wife for the first time while
Yeah.
driving through the countryside, and she's like, "Oh, if you're a race car driver, why aren't you driving like a million miles an hour?" And he goes, "Why am I gonna risk it driving this car?"
Yeah,
And then eventually she
exactly.
gets him to do it, and he does it. But I see that's another thing is the wife. I forgot how much I liked the wife. I don't know what her actress name is. What her
I think it's like,
actress name is? What her actress name
what
is?
her
Name
real name is.
is?
I think it's like
Yeah,
Alexandra
Alexandra
something.
Maria Lara. I thought she was very good in this too.
Yeah, she was, because she really did like the chemistry between them. Like she did really well despite like the small amount of time she had on screen. I think she made like a big impact on screen.
Jimmy, would you say she made a bigger impact on screen than Natalie Dormer?
No, because I didn't remember she was in this movie.
But I mean, I agree
Then I
with you.
also forget, like, Olivia Wilde had, like, a 3 second part too. I'm like, what? Why
Oh
did
my God,
like?
when she showed up, I was like, Olivia Wilde? And she's
But
doing a
then,
British accent?
and then she just left. Kelly, do you like her British accent in this? Because there was one review that actually said, like, specifically said something about Olivia Wilde, quote, and then in parentheses, she did a good British accent.
I actually was like, oh God, she's gonna do a British accent when she showed up. But then I was like, okay, I'm gonna be 100% honest. Like, I've heard way worse. And I'll give her, as someone who isn't British and is just like listening, I'll give her like average, like passable. Like, if she had like a dialect coach or something and was doing like an actually English heavy type of thing, I think with a lot of practice, she could actually pull off a decent one.
Well, I thought it
Because, I
was
mean,
funny.
look, we have Anne Hathaway.
I mean, I thought it was funny too, because I don't think anyone played the right, like they all did accents. I think Daniel Brühl did a
Austrian.
Austrian accent. I think Chris Hemsworth was doing a British accent.
Yeah, he's British.
Okay, because it sounded more just like Chris Hemsworth and not like
It sounded like
it's
Chris
a
Hemsworth during Thor, you know?
yeah, I guess so, yeah. So I was like I thought that was funny. They kind of like everyone was doing accents, but I agree with you. That I feel like Daniel Brühl definitely had the most development between the two, because like really like the only like development I think Chris Hemsworth had was because he even at the end he was still partying, and they kind of said like he for the movie purposes he just kind of like lived his life back to, like he never changed his ways,
But that was his.
except for the scene with the car crash where you saw he was like trying to right a wrong, and like I feel like besides that there was no, which makes it seem like he was just more of a supporting character, and Daniel Brühl, who kind of went from an asshole to someone you were rooting for, and at the end he was like, "No, like I'm not dying today," and you were kind of like, "Yes, that's what Chris Hemsworth should be doing," but he still was in his own head and trying to win. So that's just another reason why it kind of shows that like it was more his movie, which is funny though because he was a supporting actor for a lot of the awards. But I bet
Exactly.
you they probably were just like they both if either of them got nominated, probably would have been supporting one of those movies.
Like, I'm almost positive Daniel Brühl was on screen more than Chris Hemsworth was. And he definitely had more script.
They do have a there's like a Twitter account that has all that stuff. I wonder. I wouldn't be surprised if I like saw that he had more screen time than Chris Hemsworth, especially with the whole accident too, because it was more focused on him at that point.
Yeah,
What did
exactly.
you think of the pacing?
I liked the pacing because I enjoyed the editing.
It was fine. The pacing for me was fine. Like, I felt like I kind of knew what was going on. I think that the pacing for Niki Lauda's character was very good. I don't think the pacing for James Hunt's side of the story was very well, because I was like, how long was he married to Olivia Wilde?
Well, that's the thing. A lot of the people were, a lot of the reviews were saying like they fit so much in like that, like 6 years before section, before they got back to that race in Germany, that like I was like, wait, he already won he already was a world champion. It was so quick. It was like they were trying to be that movie where I think a lot of people try and do, where it's like so quick, 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 but yet it was still kind of like the story was still getting drawn out for me at least, where I feel like Ron Howard didn't have that like Adam McKay. I'm trying to think of someone else who does like that kind of like edit, that kind of editing style. But I feel like Ron, that wasn't like, that's not like Ron Howard's like thing. I think he, I mean, especially from like The Beautiful Mind, stuff like that, and these type of Hillbilly Elegy, he's more of a see the story through kind of like slowly. And then it's not like a quick, quick, quick. He did the racing scenes good for pacing wise and editing wise. But I thought the story itself, like, and that's why I thought it could have been shorter, just was very like a lot at once. And then like at the same time, they would like slow down.
Yeah, I mean, I don't necessarily like I see where you're coming from. I don't 100% agree. I just think that both stories were told unevenly between the two for me, 'cause I was like, Daniel Brühl's character perfectly fine with the pacing. Like, I understood like what was going on with his life. I think with Chris Hemsworth's character, and I'm not sure whether or not because it's just kind of like that's the way James Hunt was or lived his life, where it was like it was a little bit more murkier, because like all of a sudden it was like superstar because he was with Hesketh or whatever, and then they were like, we made a miscalculation. And I was like, wait, what? What do you mean? Like, you're broke? Okay, you're broke. And then I still was confused on that. And then he was like, oh, now I'm with McLaren. And then it's like, wait, I don't, how many years have passed? And then he got married. Like, his side of the story, like, as the person who's supposed to be the lead of this movie, I just felt that was not done super well. But Daniel Brühl's character, Niki Lauda, his story I thought done was actually very well.
Yeah, I mean,
And it's
I could,
hard because you're interspersing them back and forth.
yeah, exactly. I wish they were more, like I said, I wish there was more of the racing and like the press conferences and all that, because I like them together. Apart, I started to lose interest a little bit. But did you think this was like a surprise hit? Because a lot of people were like, I was so surprised by this movie, how good this movie was.
Yes, 100%. Because even when it came out, I think people were also like, not confident in Chris Hemsworth's abilities as an actor. And I think that this kind of helped put him above just being like a superhero.
Yeah, that's the problem. I was watching this too because I saw this movie. I'm like, I personally thought Chris Hemsworth did a good job. I mean, nothing crazy, but like he chooses the wrong movies, and I'm like, I feel like this was one of the, even though I'm not a huge fan of this movie, this was the like a good one to do right after, because this is what, 2013, so it was right after
They said
Avengers.
he auditioned for this while filming Avengers.
Yeah, and I'm like, I feel like, and you could like the movies he's in sometimes, like it's a bad movie, but I think he does an interesting job. Like, what was that movie? Spiderhead? Not a great movie.
Black
Terrible.
Hat.
I didn't see that one, but there's one called Spiderhead
Spiderhead.
on
It's a
Netflix.
Netflix movie.
Oh, I don't
I
watch any
watched
of
it.
the action movies on
No,
Netflix.
it's not
It's
an
not an
action
action
movie.
movie. It's a psychological thriller.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought it looked like an action movie. They did
So
not advertise that correctly then.
yeah,
Really?
it's a very, it's not a great movie at all, but he does interesting stuff in it. And the same thing with like Bad Times at El Royale. It might not be the best movie ever, but he doesn't act like, he doesn't do the same thing in each movie. And I'm like, I like that he does that. I just think he chooses the wrong movies overall.
You know what the thing is with Chris Hemsworth is that I think he actually can be and is a great actor, because when he does the, like, I actually really like the Bad Times at the El Royale.
No, I do. It was like
And
reviews
then
wise, though, it wasn't amazing. Like, people didn't rate it that well.
Yeah,
I
I
thought
thought
it
they
was
did
like
rate it
this,
very
I
well.
thought it
Oh,
was
am I
like in
thinking
the
of a different
60s
movie
or
then?
70s.
Oh, then maybe I might be thinking of a
Or
different
thinking of
movie.
The Heart of the Sea.
Maybe. Oh, that's another Ron Howard movie. Maybe I'm getting his movies confused, maybe. Because I thought Bad Times was good too. I just liked him particularly.
I think that with Chris Hemsworth, issue is that he actually like knows what type of roles he wants to do. Like, I loved him in the Bad Times at El Royale. I think he did okay and well in The Heart of the Sea, even though, like, you know, he was, I think he was trying to go down that path of like doing more indie type stuff. But then, like, you know, I think the big issue with him was that those movies didn't bring in like any money and didn't do well at the box office. Like, Black Hat didn't do well at the box office, and that was a really long movie that I didn't enjoy. And then it's kind of like he like was like, okay, well, I need to make money and just to keep working. So then he would just go back to doing like Vacation, you know, like Men in Black, like, you know, mainstream movies. And it's like, I feel like he's at a point in his career where it's like you don't really have to do those movies anymore. Like, you could try
Exactly.
to, you could do more. 'Cause then he was like, after those movies did bad at the box office, you know, and also Ghostbusters, which I thought he was hilarious in,
Can I
but
say
that
something?
didn't do
Ghostbusters
well.
didn't do terrible at the go. It did the same amount as Afterlife, and they say Afterlife did well.
Well, he thought, yeah, but it cost way more. But he, the Ghostbusters 2016 cost like triple the amount of Afterlife. His big thing was just like he was doing so many movies that weren't doing well at the box office that his marketability was like going down. And I feel like that's when he started making bad choices or just starting to do mainstream movies, which then again also started like those didn't do that well either. Like, I just feel like we love Chris Hemsworth, but he is not a box office guarantee,
I am hoping
unfortunately.
with Furiosa now, if people like his performance and it does well, I'm hoping this can like restart his like that he is a good actor and he doesn't have to go to these like do these stupid movies. He can go back to, he can bring in an audience. I'm
I think
hoping.
he's a very good villain actor, to be honest. Anytime he plays the villain role, those movies I actually truly enjoy. Like Bad Times, he did well. And I think that he's gonna do really good at Furiosa. And like even in this movie, he played the fucking asshole. And you know, it was still better. Like, he actually is a lot better when he's playing a villain.
But he's also very good at playing funny too, and I think that's what surprised
Oh,
people
he's
with
hilarious.
Ghostbuster. I mean, Ghostbusters was like the oh my god, like because you saw Thor, you saw him as Thor, which was like before he did the comedy reboot version of it, and like it was so dramatic, and like then all of a sudden like Ghostbusters was like, wait, is Chris Hemsworth funny?
Yeah. I just think that he needs to, I think he should go back to doing more indie type movies, in my opinion.
I'm hoping that I hope Furiosa can like jumpstart like a new like second leg for him, because now like the core sort of Thor is kind of done for him, like sort of, but not really.
Yeah, but I don't know if like Furiosa, if that will do anything. Because did that really do anything for? I mean, Tom Hardy got like Venom and stuff, but like Charlize Theron, like have we seen her really do
She has
big
the Old Guard
budget?
and stuff like that.
No, oh, I forgot about that movie. And
I
now
love
she's
the
in
Old
Doctor
Guard.
Strange. Oh yeah. But I don't think that's all from Furiosa, because I feel like
No.
she wants to do another Furiosa, and they
Yeah,
were
but
like,
people
nowhere to get
loved
the
her
money.
in that role, though. Like, people wanted to see her in more. It's like
Yeah.
there's that whole uproar that they didn't cast her in Furiosa. So obviously, there was an effect that she had from that movie.
I think that Furiosa is actually like probably Charlize Theron, besides Monster, is probably her most well-known role. Or like what people associate her with is Furiosa. Because I mean, after that, that's when she got Atomic Blonde, even though I hate that fucking movie.
She
But
had
it's
like a
like,
little action star reboot
yeah,
in that movie.
because Aeon Flux ruined her. And people were like, oh wait, she can do action.
So I have a final question before we move on to the back end of the show. And it dawned on me, and it could be only me because sometimes that happens, but do you think that Rush has a lot of similarities to Cars? Cars is about
Like Pixar?
cars. Yeah.
No.
No.
The whole racing thing, that it's that there he's trying to beat Chick Hicks,
That
that whole.
you could say
Listen,
that about
listen,
Ford
listen, listen,
versus
Matt.
Ferrari.
Matt,
Fast and
Matt,
the
Matt,
Furious.
Matt, Matt, Matt. Cars is about a small town getting overtaken by the interstate, so no one goes there anymore.
I mean, that's part of the movie, but there's also the whole like Lightning McQueen, Chick Hicks, their rivalry, they're trying to win the Piston Cup, and they're like, it's race and race and race and race, and like they're trying to like one up each other, and they're doing little things to like antagonize each other. And then at the end, you know, once Dinoco crashes, Lightning McQueen actually like
is willing to lose, just like Niki Lauda realized, you know, like it's not about the winning anymore and like gave up on the race at the end of the movie. I just feel like there was like similarities. And yes, that's like a generic racing movie. And maybe you can say Rush has generic racing movie tendencies. But I don't know. I just like that throughout the movie, every once in a while, I was like, this kind of is similar to me to Cars. And more so than like Ford v Ferrari, and Fast and Furious isn't about really racing to me anymore, at least. And Ford v Ferrari, I don't know. It didn't have that same like, yes, there was a race to like win, but it wasn't like between two specific people and that was it. I don't know. It was just a random thought that went through my head. Like I said, I didn't expect you guys to agree with me.
You know what? I will give you that it's like every other racing movie. Yes. Yes, if there's a race in it, then yes, well, it is like that. The story of Cars is more about the small town, like that the small towns that have been forced off the map by the big interstates. That's what Cars is about.
Then it's like Gran Turismo, which is another racing movie, is exactly the same then. I mean, there's not much more you can do in a competitive sport. Like, it's supposed to be competitive and you're supposed to have that drive. Like, we're not going to make a movie about drivers who don't have that extra drive, you know, that extra motivation that made them great, you know?
Let me rephrase this. Plot A of Cars, yes, is about the whole Route 66 thing. But plot B of Cars is about the whole Piston Cup and that story. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's just, you know, every racing movie has that. And maybe Rush has generic tendencies and maybe Cars kind of played into that. And that's why it felt similar. It kind of played into those tropes. But I just feel like, you know, when it was about the racing in Rush, it reminded me of when it was about the racing in Cars. But obviously you guys don't agree, so.
No.
Or Cars 3. Maybe it's more Cars 3. But anyway.
I think more Cars 2, if anything.
Well, they were missing
British people.
They were missing the cars becoming spies in Rush then.
Literally don't remember anything about Cars 2.
They were literally undercover spies in Rush, so you couldn't tell.
I also don't like Cars, so. One thing, when you guys saw like the final race and then Olivia Wilde's character was watching her, were you kind of like, why is she even here? Like, why are they even showing her right now?
I remembered going, oh yeah, she was in this movie.
I was just like, what is happening?
She's so forgettable in this movie.
They don't even get back together or anything like that. So I'm just like, why are we watching her reaction to this?
I think they wanted to make you think that he was going to like possibly like crash Chris Hemsworth. So like you had someone who like previously loved him before.
So where was Natalie Dormer watching the race?
Dormer didn't really love him. Yeah, and also, like, is that her name? Or did they just, like, not care about her? And they were like,
I think he just didn't know her name.
He didn't know her name.
I don't even know her name in the movie.
So really, she was a forgettable character in and, well, except for you guys, in and out of the movie.
I don't know why I remembered her.
Well, that's why I'm like, when you said it as the clue for last week, or last episode, I was like, oh, yeah, I forgot she was in it. She must be like a big character. If Jimmy remembers this character. So I'm watching it. And like after 10 minutes, I'm like, she done with the movie?
Yeah.
I was like, what? But that's what the episode name should be called. Natalie Dormer? Question mark. Okay. So moving on. No one else has anything to say?
No.
Okay. Time for Higher and Lower, which is the game where we are going to guess which movie has the higher rating on IMDb. I'll say two movies, we're your guess, and then we'll go from there. And if we don't get, we can go to 30, then we'll stop.
Okay.
If we don't get out before then.
I just think that this movie's just so interesting in the fact that like it doesn't stand out. Logan.
Oh, no. I know. Continue what you were saying?
Yeah, I think it's just funny that this movie is one of those movies that just doesn't like stand out, but it's like still we're just like, it's a good movie, but we're just like, but nothing about it stands out.
I agree with you 100%.
And it's on the top 250, but we don't care that it's on the low 200s, but we also don't care if it's on it. It's so, like, what do we even call these movies, you know?
Forgettable.
No, just
forgettable movies that we like, that we think are good.
Yeah, I don't know if I necessarily would say it wasn't a terrible movie, but I wouldn't say it's a great movie. But
no,
it's
exactly.
One of those, like, I watched it. Okay, so Higher or Lower? So Logan and Fast and Furious, the original.
Logan.
Okay. And the winner is Logan.
That's so silly.
Fast and Furious.
Absolutely not.
Logan, The Help. Who has the higher?
The Help. I'm gonna say Logan, but okay. Oh, okay. Well, it was a tie, so either one. I
You
guess
win.
either one works. Help or Seven.
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 Yeah, I think it's Seven. And
Had
Seven is the winner.
we not already seen Seven score?
Yeah. So Seven and Mary Poppins.
Seven.
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 And Seven's correct again. The Big Lebowski and Mary Poppins. I'm gonna go Big Lebowski.
I was gonna say Big
Big
Lebowski.
Lebowski.
Okay, the winner is Big Lebowski. So Big Lebowski and Sonic the Hedgehog.
Big
The Big
Lebowski.
Big Lebowski. Airplane or Sonic the Hedgehog? Airplane.
Airplane.
Airplane, I guess? Airplane.
We're saying
It's
airplane, I guess.
funny. It's a LOL.
It's a cult status
No, I
film.
know, but people love Sonic, so you never know. Not
Not
that
compared to
much.
airplane.
Airplane or Moonlight? I'm gonna go
Moonlight.
Moonlight. Oh,
Ooh.
wow! Moonlight has a lower than Airplane? That's actually kind of
Well, have
crazy.
you seen Airplane?
No, but
Well, it's
still.
quite funny.
I thought
It
Moonlight
was
was on top
close.
250, so that's why I was kind of surprised, but I guess it's not.
Isn't Airplane on the top 250?
I don't
No.
think so, no.
Oh my. Oh,
Well,
no.
that's interesting. Okay, well.
We were kicked out, so I guess we'd not do as well as last game. Moving on, higher or low? I mean, not higher or lower. MVP, LVP, most valuable player, least valuable player. Jimmy, what's your most valuable player?
Natalie Dormer.
No, I was gonna say Daniel Brühl.
Kelly, is yours Natalie Dormer?
No, Daniel Brühl.
I'll go with the racing scenes and LVP, least valuable player, Jimmy.
Olivia Wilde's character, because it just made no sense.
Kelly.
I'll say what I said before, James Hunt's story.
And I'm gonna go with the pacing for the movie. We should just for this one particular. Most forgettable, non-forgettable character, Natalie Dormer. Okay, it's time for ratings. Jimmy, do you have your calculator out?
I'm ready.
I will give this a 6.5.
Kelly?
I'll give it a 7.
I was going to give it an 8. 7.2.
7.2 compared to the 8.1. So yeah, that is Rush. Jimmy, would you like to give us some clues for, take us out. Give us some clues for next week or next episode.
Okay, so the movie takes place in Boston. There's a lot of cops. And
It's a remake.
no, it is, but that's not my clue. And every like male actor you can think of is in this film, and then there's one female actor.
Every male actor?
I was watching this before we started the podcast, and I was like, oh, this one's in it. This guy's in it. This guy's in it. This guy's in it. And then I was like, wow, this did not pass the Bechdel test at all.
This that was.
I don't think two women are even like seen for 5 minutes together. Like you see a woman and then you don't see another woman for like a half hour later. Like it's bad.
Well, oh, I can't. I was going to say something, but I would have given away the movie. That's a trademark in someone's movies that directed this. But yeah, we will see you next episode for the movie that did not pass the Bechdel test. See you later. Bye.
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 Thanks so much for listening. You can hear us anywhere you listen to podcasts, and we want to hear what you think, so leave us a review. Give us some likes on social media at Pop Horror Review. Click around www.pophorreview.com. Become a member of our Patreon page, patreon.com/pophorreview, for exclusive content and drink recipes. And one last thing before you go, make sure to check out the Titan Media Collective and Titan Cast Network. Enjoy the rest of your movie Monday.
That was a Titan Cast episode.